We want to welcome you to Diversity Conversations with your host, Eric Ellis, President and CEO of Integrity Development Corporation, and co-host Tommy Lewis, President and CEO of Make It Plain Consulting. Please join these human relations thought leaders as they discuss solutions to issues that divide people, communities, and our nation. Good morning, Greater Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, the United States, and the world. My name is Eric Ellis. I'm President and CEO of Integrity Development Corporation, and I want to welcome you to another of our weekly installments in Diversity Conversations. I am so excited today. We've got a great guest that is joining us in just a minute. I'm going to just chat a little bit about the last week. Had some great things happen with many of our clients. We are so glad that there are organizations in this day and time that are investing in creating cultures of respect and engagement. You know, we talk a lot about our core initiative and our work. Right now, as this country is in the midst of ideological civil war, we just impeached a president, and now that whole thing is in limbo. We need people that might be able to be our civility partners. And we've got an expert on the phone today, and that's Catherine Mattis. Catherine, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I'm so sorry that we got you up so early this morning. What time is it where you are?
It's 6:30 in the morning, and I think I've got the flu or something. My nose is stuffed, but I'm here. I want to talk about civility. So.
Absolutely, and we're so glad to have you with us today. We just recently met. I met one of her staff persons at the SHRM Inclusion Conference, and she was such an excited young executive that's working with this company. And she was telling me about an amazing boss that she has, and she said, you guys have got to meet. And we had a chance to connect a couple of weeks ago, and we really felt like family, and the conversation just went beautifully. And so what I'd like to do is, Kevin, just have you introduce yourself a little bit, tell people about who you are, where you're from, and what you're doing and why.
Yeah, sure. So I'm, again, Catherine Mattis-Vindel, president and founder of Civility Partners. We're an HR consulting firm focused on building positive work environments through HR processes and procedures and through people, really. And I'm personally a subject matter expert in the topic of workplace bullying, and I got interested in that topic long ago when I was the director of HR for an organization where we had a bully. This person was really difficult to work with, and as an individual, I felt bullied, and as the director of HR, I felt all of the problems that he created for the organization that I had to deal with. And ended up studying workplace bullying in grad school and written a couple books on that, and that was over a decade ago. So I've been really focused on helping organizations solve the problem of workplace bullying, but over time that has expanded really into, you know, any toxic workplace behavior, we come in and tackle it and work with leaders to create a better work environment. And I also specialize in coaching people who bully at work. So that's an interesting niche.
Wow. I think that you probably have heard this before, but we could use you in Washington, D.C. right now. I think our whole...
You think?
The politicians on both sides really could use the work that you are doing. I'm going to ask my audience that's out there, especially in the radio audience, how many of you have experienced bullies in the workplace? By a show of hands, go ahead and raise your hands. Okay, we don't see any of you, but we do know that you exist. That is such an interesting topic, and I'll tell you that I'm interested in all the things that you do. I'd like to begin by asking you to let people know how they can get in touch with you, because I've had a chance to look at Civility Partners' website and all of the rich materials that Catherine and her team have put together. Catherine, why don't you introduce people to how they might be able to reach out and contact you or be able to take advantage of some of your materials?
Sure. Yeah. So civilitypartners.com is our website, and I have been writing a pretty steady blog for about 8 years, and my team participates in writing that blog. So our blog post is just full of information. We've got a ton of downloads and white papers and recorded webinars, and you know, my mission is really to give people the information they need to be able to resolve problems at work. And so we really are passionate about making sure people have tools. I'm also a LinkedIn Learning course author. So if you're on LinkedIn Premium, you have access to LinkedIn Learning. And I've got about 15 courses on LinkedIn Learning about a lot of the things that I do, how to create a better work environment, how to stand up for yourself and to others if you witness something negative at work, how to create a diversity and inclusion program at work. So, I try to get a lot out there.
Yeah, I noticed that. Let me just kind of back up just a little bit and ask you to share what you know about bullies. Do they come in all shapes and sizes? What is the demographic of a bully, and why do people bully? Why do they engage in that kind of behavior?
Yeah, so people who bully are anybody, and anybody in any organization where there's people, there's drama, right?
Yeah.
On average, it tends to be males more often, just because I think males are, you know, raised to be a little more assertive than females generally in our society. The reason people bully is actually a pretty simple explanation. So there's two pieces to the recipe. One is that people who bully are very focused on competence and, in fact, live in a very anxious-ridden world of anxiety around incompetence. And so, of course, we all want to appear as competent, but they are hypersensitive to being the most competent person in the room. And that's why people who bully are often really good at their jobs, because they, you know, they focus on being seen as competent and being successful. And the second piece is that they, of course, lack social and emotional intelligence. So what happens is somebody does something or makes a mistake, or you know, they do something that leaves the bully feeling anxious about incompetence. So let's say somebody makes a mistake and the person who bullies is the leader of that team, and that mistake they feel reflects on them and their competence or incompetence. And that incompetence gives them anxiety and they lash out with bullying. So it's a bit of a fight or flight type of a reaction to this perceived incompetence. And so that's the reason. And then, you know, because they lack social and emotional intelligence, they don't understand the impact of that behavior. So I'll just share an example. One individual that I coached, one of the things that he would do among his many bullying behaviors was that in staff meetings, if people said an idea that he didn't think would work, he would actually lean back in his chair and put his feet up on the conference table. And people said he would sort of launch into this dissertation or lecture about why your idea was so stupid, basically. And so, you know, being schooled in front of your fellow staff members is embarrassing and humiliating and harmful. And, you know, his goal in that was to, you know, teach this person, help them be more competent. You know, that's what he's focused on. But because he lacked social and emotional intelligence, he didn't realize that the impact was really that this person would go back to their office and declare that they would never speak up in a staff meeting again. So,
right.
They're really socially and emotionally ignorant. It's not intentional behavior, and I know it feels that way if you've ever been bullied, but I find that's not the case.
Now, I just had, because I told you we're on Facebook Live as well, and they're able to hear you as well. And I'll tell you that I was thinking this thought, and then someone, my good friend Keenan West, said the same thing. He said, never heard of these definitions for bullying, but she's spot on. And it's not that I've never heard the definitions, but what really gets my attention is the sensitive way that you even describe bullies. You see, because in our country, when we start talking about bullies, it feels as though we are always saying it's about power, and we'll almost sort of degrade them as we're trying to define them. And you have literally done enough study around this that you have another way of looking at the behavior, and then people lacking the social and emotional skills to be able to communicate their frustrations. That's interesting. As you look at our country right now, and I'm not in any way wanting to be overly political, because I think that we see people that are, that's all we've seen over the last few months, right? Is a lot of emotion and bullying behavior almost on both sides as people are trying to get across their point of view. If you were trying to provide some solutions to this lack of leadership that we're seeing, or a lack of emotional and social and emotional control, how would you approach that?
Oh, gosh.
You don't know where to start,
well,
right? Say, oh, my God.
Some people can't be helped, you know. There are certain people, I think.
No,
that...
Catherine! No! You are the guru!
I know, I'm gonna... Let me explain. So I think, you know, certain people have some, you know, probably some mental things that I am not able to address.
Okay.
But
in
the end, you know, people who engage in bullying do it because they are living in fear. So I think, you know, politically we could say the reason this behavior is going on is they're afraid of the other side and what the other side wants to accomplish. And so, and conflict is another great way for bullying to start to occur at work. When you have people in conflict and it's not getting resolved, bullying can start to develop because people are looking for power or to sort of win that conflict. And then it starts to become this game of whoever has the louder voice and the more power, you know, gets to win the conflict. So I think we need to have a more open mind, stop being so focused on the party line. You know, let's just look at what America really needs and focus on that. But unfortunately, Washington has gotten so divisive, just solely based on the party line, that, you know, they need to move away from that. And just let's focus on what the people need and have more empathy towards the people instead of being so focused on, you know, what each party really wants to have happen.
Right.
So that would be my advice.
Right. And what I'd like to do, I can hear the people in the audience sort of screaming this out, because in some ways the nation is screaming this out to Washington. Let's not focus on Washington. Let's come back to the kitchen table issues that every family, every company is dealing with, because how prevalent is bullying in the workplace? And I want you to talk about what people, you know, what are some tips that you would provide for people that are dealing with this kind of behavior in the workplace? What are some practical things that people can do if you're dealing with this in your families? We have a number of people in our audiences that are even people of faith that have this kind of behavior going on in their families. What are some tips that you can provide people around? How do we sort of address this in others? And then how do we address this in ourselves?
Great question. So I'll give you a resource. There is a really great methodology. It's called the BIFF method, B-I-F-F, the BIFF method, which stands for brief, informative, formal and friendly, I think. And what the BIFF method is about is, if you're in an argument with somebody who is bullying or is has a high conflict personality, as they call them, that when you respond to that individual, you want to follow the BIFF format. You want to be brief, informative, firm, and friendly. If you follow that piece, because what happens is you get caught up in the argument of trying to prove your point and that sort of thing. And with high conflict individuals, you're never going to win. So just stick to the facts, be informative about your side, but keep it brief, be firm, and be friendly. But so that's a great tool. You can look it up online, the BIFF tool, B-I-F-F.
That's awesome.
So some other things to think about, and, you know, in terms of workplace bullying, if you feel bullied, a great place to start is to document the behavior. So every time it occurs, you'll want to write down who was there and saw it, you know, what happened, what was said. Of course, if you have any ability to keep any emails or documentation that comes through, you'll want to keep that. And the goal is to really start focusing on building a case around the bullying so that you can go and speak to HR. HR is going to respond to facts more so than your emotions. And I hate to say that, but HR's goal is to protect the company, right? So if you go to HR and you say, I feel bullied, I'm hurt by this, and you kind of focus it around you, unfortunately, HR isn't going to respond as well to that. Versus if you go to HR and say, look, here is this person's behavior, here's what I've witnessed, and here's the damage I've seen it cause. So if you're really focused on that person's behavior as opposed to who they are or, you know, your own emotions about it, and that's how you'll start to really get HR's attention. But I do think whether it's the family or the workplace, the biggest problem that I see is most of us do not step in when somebody crosses the line, and
right.
That is the key. If you're at a family dinner and one person is more sort of, you know, has a bigger voice and is more aggressive of an individual, generally we allow that person to take over. Nobody is really willing to speak up, and that is the issue. So all of us need to get better at speaking up when somebody crosses the line and standing up for each other and saying, hey, that felt like it crossed the line. Let's, you know, bring it back. Let's tone it down.
Right.
And same at work, you know, in that staff meeting that I was describing where this guy would lean back in his chair. Of course, nobody said anything about it because the guy was the boss. But knowing that he's not intentionally trying to make somebody's life miserable, he's just trying to get the job done. If everybody in that staff meeting had spoken up and said, that is inappropriate behavior, don't fool us in front of each other, you know, he would have stopped, because he's not a psychopath who enjoys making people's lives miserable. He's just trying to get the job done. So there's power in numbers. We all need to speak up.
Right. Let me ask you a more nuanced question, because I was going to ask you, and I want you to think about this. I know bullying is prevalent in both leaders within organizations and coworkers. I wanted to ask you, which do you see more prevalence in? But before that, I really want you to respond to the question that oftentimes bullying behavior can be closely aligned to a person that's passionate about getting things done. And so sometimes when you bring these things up to HR, people will make excuses for or say that person is really just pushing, they're dedicated to trying to get the work done, and they want to hold people accountable, and sometimes people misunderstand that. Where's the line there, and is it difficult to really be able to quantify or characterize bullying behavior in ways that people will deem acceptable, especially when they have power?
That's a great question, and it's a big answer. So you have to hope that you have a human resources manager who understands the importance of people. And unfortunately, I see that, and you probably see this too, Eric, there's two kinds of HR people.
Right.
There are HR people who are focused on compliance, and there are HR people who are focused on culture and people. And so if you have a compliance focused HR person, you're going to be less successful because they're focused on the corporate policies and behavior and that's illegal or not, you know. So that's something to keep in mind. And yeah, I see it all the time that people who bully are really good at their jobs, so
right.
They are highly valued. And unfortunately, a lot of the times when I get called into coach, it's because the person has finally done something horrible enough that the C-suite is willing to finally step in. For example, one individual I coached had caused a panic attack in somebody else, and they literally had to go off in an ambulance.
Wow.
And after years and years of yelling at people, that finally caught their attention, and they finally said, you can't act that way anymore. But then, you know, he needed a coach because he'd been given permission to act that way for all those years, and he didn't know any better. So it is difficult. And so when I say go to HR, I recognize that it's not that easy. And in many cases, it doesn't go very well. The person who is talking about bullying is the one who is seen as kind of the weak link, because the bully is really great at their job. So it is a difficult question, and I would say almost case by case. You really just have to think it through. Actually, in one of my books, Back Off, I have a worksheet that's about 6 pages long of all of the things that you want to be thinking about before you go to HR. And some of the questions in there are hard. For example, what will you do if this doesn't go over very well and it's not resolved? What is it that you're looking for? Are you looking for that person to be punished? Are you looking to be transferred? Are you looking for them to just stop? There's a lot of hard questions in there. So definitely you have to explore, dig deep within yourself before you go and speak to HR, because a lot of times nothing will happen until, you know, they cross the line, like
right.
I said. So.
Well, I've got some great people that are listening in. They're having a little bit of a difficult time hearing you. I hate that we're going to have to figure out how to have you back, because this is really an important conversation. Kevin Beckford, I wish that you had a chance to meet Christine. We'll have to get you all together. If you've got a question that you want to ask, or Chris Beard or Kay or Heidi, any of the others, if you want to post that on Facebook, we'll try to pass that forward. Talk to us about what the cost of bullying behavior is to a business, to an organization, and why is it important for organizations to really be more assertive around trying to deal with these kinds of behaviors?
Yep, so first of all, the prevalence of bullying is pretty high. Career Builder just did a study and found that 90% of people have experienced bullying at some point in their life. That's a pretty high number. And the damage is very, very clear. There's about 40 years of academic research on the topic of bullying from all around the world, and I'd say about 70% of it is focused on the damage it causes. And the research is just so clear. People who feel bullied are anxious, depressed, stressed out, running around in fear, and of course all of that emotional stress causes physical problems. There is research connecting heart disease to being bullied at work. PTSD is a result of being bullied at work. So you can go to war and come home with PTSD, and you can go to work and come home with PTSD.
Wow.
And I think that is very profound, something that organizations really need to pay attention to. And so when you have people running around your workplace feeling like that, of course, they're not performing. Their quality of work has gone down. They certainly don't care about your customers. You know, they're distracted. The Canadian Safety Council found that people who feel bullied spend about 52% of their day talking about it with other employees.
Right.
So there's half the day lost. So, you know, all of this stuff out there these days around employee engagement, and, you know, that's a big topic these days. But if you are allowing bullying to occur in your organization, then all of that stuff you do with employee engagement and inclusivity is moot, because you're allowing a very exclusive behavior to occur. So the cost is just very clear that it's just a ton of wasted time by the employees who are feeling bullied. People, you cannot perform if you're afraid and you're not innovative, you're not sharing your ideas. Just it's a huge cost to organizations.
Are you finding a significant lack of self-awareness on the part of bullies? In other words, if people raise these things to them, does it catch them as a complete surprise, or is this something that they've heard before? What are you seeing there?
Yeah, they recognize that they're seen as maybe a hard manager.
Uh-huh.
So they know that people in some ways are maybe even afraid of them, or they know that they're known for holding people accountable. But they often don't, again, they don't recognize the impact, so they
right.
don't understand the real damage they cause. So when I coach people, I go in and I do interviews with people who work with the individual,
mm-hmm.
and I bring that feedback back to them, and they're usually pretty surprised to learn that that's how damaging their behavior really is. And so then we work on strategies, and again, they're focused on getting the job done. So the coaching is really focused around look, your job is to get things done on time, meet deadlines, right? Well, if you yell at somebody, do you think they go back to their desk and focus on getting it done on time, or do you think they're distracted? Oh, they're distracted. Oh, okay. Well, maybe we could find some different ways to hold people accountable to their deadlines so you can get the job done and stop having these perceptions of you. And it seems to click for them. So.
Yeah, that's powerful. One last question, and we're coming close to the end. There's so much that we could talk about. But one of the things that I saw in schools, so a lot of schools, when they want to deal with sort of anti-violence or anti-bullying behavior, they'll do assemblies. And I've seen them do these assemblies where they'll have the kids come together and talk about how they feel when they've been bullied, and then they'll sort of walk the plank and they'll share how it made them feel. And then when the schools don't follow up on that, the young people, that which they shared, the vulnerable moments that they opened themselves up to, later on in the school year are now used to bully them. And so I know one of the concerns that I have is that when we go into organizations and we begin to have people trust us, sometimes they'll share some things candidly. And what's the harm of an organization not following through on that and now those people being exposed?
Yeah, that's a great question and great point about the kids. You know, you can't go in and do an assembly and then it's going to solve the bullying problem. So when I interview people, the person who's being coached gave me the names of the people I'm going to interview, so they know who I'm interviewing.
Right.
And then I take all of my interview notes and I move it all into themes. So while they know who I interviewed, they don't know exactly who said what. And so what this person ends up getting is it's usually about 15, 20 pages of themes. So it'll say, you know, one theme will be you embarrass people in front of others. You call them out. And then you've got maybe a half of a page or a full page of bullet points of people's words. And so they can see that there's these themes in their behavior, which keeps them from being as defensive because they can't say, oh, that's Susan who said that. And Susan, you know, I know what situation she's talking about. So I'm going to discount that.
Yeah.
Instead, it's like, well, here's a list of, you know, 25 sentences and bullet points from people. So it's not just Susan. It's a perception that everybody believes in. So it's the reality because you got 15 people who believe in this perception. Mm-hmm. And so that helps. And so that's where the coaching is useful. But yeah, organizations do have to follow up on these things. So for example, here in California, we're required to do the harassment prevention training.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frustrating to me beyond end because organizations require their employees to go through this hour-long video that they don't learn anything from.
That's right.
And then meanwhile, there's bullies and exclusive behaviors and incivility and gossip.
Right.
And so if you have all of those other things, then that video is just a complete waste of everybody's time. And I boggles my mind why an organization wouldn't take advantage of that opportunity to provide some real training and have some real conversations around appropriate behavior. And so, yes, we have to have a compliant, you know, 1 hour training, but you could really use that as a springboard to do so many great things and really put the right behaviors in place. So I'm with you. Organizations just don't follow up on any of these initiatives they put in place, I feel like. It's mind-boggling.
This has actually brought us to the end. Tell people again how they can get in touch with you. And then this will not be the last time that you and I talk. This won't be the last time that I interview on this show. You've provided some amazing information and insight. How can people get in touch with you, Kevin?
Yep. Again, civilitypartners.com is the website. I'm on LinkedIn. You can shoot me an email, send me a carrier pigeon. You know,
that's awesome.
Signal.
Right.
I'm all over the internet. So yeah, you can Google my name, but civilitypartners.com is my website.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us this morning to make for another great conversation around diversity and civility. I think those are powerful, powerful concepts. Thank you for jumping up early this morning to join us, okay?
Yeah, thank you, Eric. Have a great day.
Bye now. Well, my name is Eric Ellis. Again, this has been a great conversation. If you want to reach me, you can call me at 513-874-6836, or you can go to our website, which is www.integritydev.com. This has been another great conversation in diversity, and we hope you have a great week, and we'll look forward to checking in with you again next week. Take care.
You've been listening to Diversity Conversations with co-hosts and CEOs Eric Ellis of Integrity Development and Tommy Lewis of Make It Plain Consulting. These award-winning business leaders are recognized nationally for the transformative work they do with major corporations, government agencies, educational institutions, and law enforcement. If you would like to discuss specific needs, you can contact them by calling 513-874-6836 or on the web at integritydev.com. That's 513-874-6836 or integritydev.com.